A few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud.
John Nimitz.
James Clark.
And David Lauer.
Dave,
Dave, wait
you've
until
done, yeah.
the end.
Dave's one of those guys who on the cast of shows are like featuring or guest with, you know what I mean? Like he wants to be on the last cast.
Well, that's because I always like want to go to the director and be like, line? Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
This is the show where we talk about our loves, our hates, and our indifferences. But before we do any of that, we talk about old topics in a segment we call the Deja Fuse. Take it away, Dave.
So my deja vu was like movies, like reboots and remakes. There is I don't know if it's a sequel or a remake or a reboot.
Or a
It's probably a little
sequel.
bit of both, but they're making a new Twister movie that's going to come out this summer, and I think this summer. They've been filming it. They filmed it near like Oklahoma City. I live in Oklahoma,
Oh shit.
so and we just had a tornado go through our town like a week and a half ago.
Oh geez.
Great
Yeah,
promotion.
so yeah, it got
Aimless.
me. The tornado coming, it like went like 2 miles south of my house. So we had no damage, but there's a lot of people whose houses have been like destroyed in like the Barnesdall, Bartlesville area. But the real life tragedy has made me inspired to watch the original movie again because I'm excited for the sequel. But
Did
yeah,
not see
I'm
that coming.
excited for a new Twister movie
Yeah.
because like the special effects will be better. They're gonna go like bigger and better and wild. Like there's probably gonna be multiple tornadoes, and it won't be a Sharknado. It'll probably be a little bit more grounded.
All I could think about is what is going to motivate Dave to, go and rewatch Schindler's List again.
My
God. I actually have like a side tangent story that leads right to that. So we were talking, I was seeing a movie with my coworkers last week, and there was a trailer for Twisters, and I was talking about how it followed the James Cameron school of sequel naming. And there's that story of how he went into the boardroom, he wrote Alien on the chalkboard, wrote an S after it, so it's Aliens, and then made the S into a dollar sign. And I was like, they did the same thing for Twister. And we were joking, like, what other movies could you do that for? So, like, Beauty and the Beasts.
Schindler's List.
Yeah, that wasn't, that's what I'm talking about, but that one, like, ended it. Schindler's List.
My God. Well, oh yeah, I was thinking aliens as well. I was thinking they have to have a scene where their tornado's about to suck up a little girl, and then Helen Hunt shows up in a mech suit. Get away from her, you bitch. Oh, that would be perfect. Oh my gosh. Because the mech suit would be heavy and wouldn't suck her up at all. I think she'd be safe. So, okay, Dave. What about that ending though? Where Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton survive a tornado with horse wraps or what horse things tied to a pole or a lead pole, right?
I haven't seen Twister before.
Oh
Yeah,
shit.
so no spoilers.
Oh God damn it.
I don't remember it. I haven't seen it since I was like 12 years old.
Oh, you haven't actually rewatched it yet. You're just
No, I'm
inspired to.
excited to.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna wait until the next like storm forecast is like headed our way, and then I'm gonna put the original on.
And then the tornado warnings are going to go off in your backyard, and like it's like surround sound is so real.
Yeah, I know. Oh God, this scene is so captivating. Oh God, my windows are smashing and breaking in.
Is this
In real 4D.
yeah. What was is this the closest to a tornado you've ever experienced? Because I was in a circus once watching,
Oh.
and our
You and all the
tornado
other clowns.
I was at the circus, and then the wind started to pick up, and the lions wouldn't do their shit. They're like, no, we're not gonna behave. And yeah, a tornado was there, and we had to be rushed into the mall. We were right next to it. And yeah, tornado went and zipped up the tent. So
Jeez.
yeah, that's, I think that was after I watched the movie. So I don't know. It might not be the same if I give it a second watch.
All
This
I
always.
remember. Oh, were you
Go
gonna
ahead,
say?
Dave. No, you go,
Well,
Dave.
I was... what I was gonna say is, like, with the animals and like trying to like tie yourself to a lead pole so you don't fly away. Like, I think in the original Twister, they had like cows were like flying in the tornado. And like a cow can weigh like up to 800 pounds. So like I immediately thought, like, oh, that's bullshit. And then I've Googled it, and there's like some people say that it is possible that a tornado could pick up a cow and just start spinning it around, which is just crazy to me.
Well, isn't that the weird thing where they're like sometimes they'll pick up like what the hell, that's a stupid story. Like, I picked up a carton of eggs and it landed and it was perfectly fine, like a mile away. You're like, what? Okay. I don't know how they knew, but I think I've heard that tornadoes are really bizarre, like unpredictable and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like it tore through like this town that's like 18 miles away, and there was like photographs and stuff like 20 miles away that people have found in their yard, like of families that were just, so like these photographs just flew 20 miles up in the jet stream. It's
Are you
crazy.
sure it wasn't just an actor with headshots? Like,
A
making a movie.
tornado picked up my family Bible and it opened it right to the page that I needed to read.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good stuff. Let's start the show, right?
Yeah.
Someone starts. I believe in John. John, go ahead and start us off.
All right. Let's keep talking about movies. And I'll say, I hate the Razzies or the Raspberry Awards. Is that what they're called?
Right.
Anyway, I just like, first of all, I just don't like, I don't like mean-spirited things, you know? Like, why do you gotta rag on shit? You know, like, you create something, you asshole. But really, like, it's just they're pretty lazy in practice, it seems like. I read they don't actually have to watch the movie. So the movies that always win are just the ones that are already getting dumped on in popular culture. And they're just like, oh, everyone's talking about that movie. Let's just, you know, get some more clicks. And I mean, it was starting in the 80s or whatever. So get like, I don't know, what did they do back then? Sell some newspapers or something? I don't know. But like, it's just, I don't know, just pretty generic. Like, the movie that you thought was, that everyone was already saying was dumb, like, will typically get nominated. And, you know, and then again, like, have people probably not even watching any of these movies just choose which one they think is the worst. Another thing is, like, it was only last year where they said you can't like nominate children. So like you know, what was his name in The Phantom Menace and stuff? Like
Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd already getting all that hate and stuff, and you know, that just like piling it on for that even more. I was looking at like just some of the stuff that they got wrong, like Stanley Kubrick for worst director for The Shining. Like,
Oh, really? Wow.
yeah.
Oh.
Jim Carrey nominated for worst new star in 1995. Like, maybe in the long term there was a you know, you can think what you want about him, but he certainly had a lot of success in the meantime.
Did
Certainly post 95.
he's made something since then? Like,
Well, the three movie run was in 94, right? The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura.
ah.
So, I mean, he was like brand new at that point in time. One thing that was kind of funny is the you know, like the Criterion collection, like they have a streaming channel and they have like different themes and stuff. So a couple months ago, the theme was like Razzie Award winners, and it was kind of fun to see movies that were, you know, like denigrated in this way, but that often have like at least some reason to watch them still, and they're still entertaining. Couple that I watched on there were Ishtar, which is like beyond the Razzies, like Elaine May. It's like they basically say she wasn't allowed to make movies anymore after that. But then you like watch it and it's like, oh, this is kind of funny actually. Like I don't know why that was so hated.
Which one is Ishtar? Was that Sean Connery or no?
No, forget the names of the actors. They're these musicians who aren't successful in the United States, and they end up going over to the Middle East. It's Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman are the
Wow.
guys.
Never heard of it. Holy
I think they
shit.
mentioned it on a Red Letter Media, one of their podcasts.
Yeah, I mean that movie is like a punchline for like bad movie, basically. Like it was unsuccessful at the time, and it's just like shorthand for like, oh, I would hate to be associated with that piece of garbage kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they mentioned it, and then I Googled it and like watched the trailer for the movie, but that's all I knew about it.
Yeah. And then I know I'm going to get some hate from this crowd based on earlier conversations, but like the Blair Witch was a Razzie at least no nominee. And you know, I think that movie is interesting for what it is. I can definitely see why one would be annoyed watching it, but I think it was a pretty interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the movie. I saw it in theaters, and I was swept up in it. I'm like, oh my God, this really happened, guys! Fucking
When I first
dummies.
watched it, I loved it. When I was, you know, like in high school, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But then, like 10 years later, I rewatched it, and I was like, "Oh, this is not good." I hated it. But
Still
I
better
don't know.
than Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. That was bad.
You watched
Yeah. I did.
that? Did after seeing the first one, you're
I
like,
said I
you
liked
were
the first
excited for
one.
a sequel?
I liked the first
Oh.
one. No, I think the two, when we watched that one, it was like not in theaters. It was like a with group of friends. We were like, let's watch a stupid movie because it looked bad, like the whole idea of it. And it was. Yeah. Oh, but with the Razzies, though, John, I found this interesting that Sandra Bullock.
Bullock.
She won for the Razzie for All About Steve in the same year that she won for The Blind Side.
Bullock.
And I think like some attend like show up to accept their awards, right? Like I've heard Halle Berry's acceptance speech, and she just like she completely owned it. I think it was for Catwoman. And she's like, oh, I have to thank my agent for, you know, putting that script on my desk. I'm glad I pay you all that money and shit like that. Like she actually, yeah, she was fine with it. So I think that's kind of cool. I think Halle Berry is now cool again once I heard that. Oh, the one thing though, they're talking about, I read about retractions. Way back in the day, Shelley Duvall won for worst actress, but then years later, when they hear like what Stanley Kubrick was doing to her to get that performance, they're like, oh, we feel bad. So they did take it away. But
That's good. They have some integrity.
yes, but this is the by far the funniest thing that happened and retracted. They eventually created the Bruce Willis Award because he was in so many movies and so bad movies, like within a year, you know? So they just get. You know, he was going to get an award either way. But then they hear that he has that disease or whatever. And they're like, oh, we feel bad. You know, we didn't realize that the performances were bad because of the disease. However, fucking Bruce Willis has put in zero effort in plenty of movies before he was diagnosed, right? Like, yeah. So I don't know. I always felt it was weird that people were like, oh, don't make fun of his bad performances. He was diseased. I'm like, but he, like, have you ever seen,
The Sixth Sense, he was dead in it. That was impressive.
Shh, no one knows
Oh, sorry.
that
Spoiler alert.
We haven't spoiled it on this podcast.
Did you guys look up the Razzies at all? Are you guys fans?
Yeah, well, I was the one that stuck out was The Postman. I know it wasn't good, but I liked it.
Right. That's like Kevin Costner after Waterworld, right?
I don't know if it was after or before. It was right around the same time,
Right, yeah.
but I know Waterworld was also hated, and I liked Waterworld too.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm like, it's not that is terrible. I know it's supposed to be like a huge hit, but it's not a bad little flick. There's some good parts to it.
What about you, Dave?
I was really confused because I had heard about the Razzies, and then to find out that it was short for raspberries, I still don't even understand what the hell that's supposed to mean.
See, do you know what blowing a raspberry is, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
How is that a negative thing? Those are fun. What are you doing? You're tickling someone. Blow some
that
raspberries on them. Sounds like a fun time to me. But so like I don't know. I took like the Razzies kind of serious when I first found out about them, because it was like I found out about them like on the internet, like the early days of the internet, about oh, these are the worst movies. And I'm like, okay, there's the Oscars and this is the opposite. These are the worst. But then at some point I would hear about movies and I wouldn't watch them because I heard they got a Razzie, but then I would end up watching it like 5 years later. Like there's a comedy called Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell and Danny McBride. And I always heard that it was terrible because it won a Razzie. And I watched it and like, yeah, it's like kind of a lower budget comedy, but it's freaking hilarious. Like I love that movie. And the fact that I didn't watch it for so long because it won this stupid fake award, it's just, and it's like, and it won the award for like Razzie for the worst remake. But like the original Land of the Lost was horrible. Like this new movie is so much better than the original.
Oh,
This doesn't
okay.
make any sense.
Never saw it. Segue challenge. Throwing down the gauntlet here.
And the award for the worst
Segue.
transition goes to.
Let's get you going, Dave. Go ahead.
I love the NFL draft. The NFL just had the NFL Pro Football Players draft like last a couple weeks ago. And it's like for hardcore football fans, the draft day is awesome, but like it's not perfect. There's lots of things I would fix about draft day, but that's how I know I love it because despite all of its flaws, it's still great. You know, they have like the first round is on like a Thursday, and then they have the second round and third round the next day. And then on Saturday, they have the fourth, fifth, and sixth and seventh round. And basically, all the teams, like in order, get to choose from all of the players that are have finished and completed college or are leaving college to play in the NFL. And it starts with the first team, like with the first pick, is the team that had the worst record in the NFL. But you can trade your picks with other teams. You can trade picks for players, and it makes things interesting. The Carolina Panthers should have had the first overall pick, but last year they traded their first round pick this year. They traded it away to the Chicago Bears before the season happened. And then during the season, they were horrible, had the worst record in the league, and they don't even get their own first round pick because they were stupid and they traded it away. So then the Bears got their first overall pick. It was, I don't know. There's crazy stuff that happens, but it's a great football, like entertainment thing because every team participates, every team gets picks. And then you can kind of like, ah, your team did this stupid thing. Like the Falcons just took a quarterback, even though they just paid like over $100 million for Kirk Cousins. but then they drafted a quarterback. It's like, what are these guys doing? These billionaires are crazy. Like, they're making stupid decisions with their franchise. It just, I don't know. Actually, it wasn't even the owner. It was the general manager who did it. And then you see, like, on like camera, the owner is talking to the general manager, like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he's like trying to explain, like, oh, trust me, I made the right decision. And the guy's like, you're gonna get fired for this. But it was a lot of fun.
Speaking of Kevin Costner movies I haven't seen,
Draft Day. It's bad. Draft Day is a bad movie.
Razzie bad?
Oh, yeah. It's, well, like, it's very well, Draft Day is very well shot, and it's well acted, but the problem is no one who knows anything about football touched that script at all. So they're making trades that don't make any sense, that would never happen in real life. And, like, for any hardcore football fan, you're like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I've never watched this. I meant to for research, but I never got around to it. James, I imagine you watch these and DVR them and shit and masturbate to them.
Yeah, I'm currently working on getting a hotel room for the draft next year. It's at Lambeau Field. It's in Green Bay.
Oh, that's right.
So this year's was in Detroit. But yeah, I follow the draft pretty religiously. And the Packers are kind of always a letdown just for various reasons. But so basically you watch the draft for 3 hours and then the Packers trade out of the first round. And you're like, why am I even paying attention? So they don't even use their pick generally. But yeah, I think part of it is just it's new hope. It's a fresh hope. Like, no matter if, especially if you're bad, you get a top pick, you get some excited college athlete that hopefully can change your franchise around. You're like, we're gonna win the Super Bowl this year, all because of three college guys that have never played a down. But it's just, yeah, it's hope, really, is what it's selling. People like hope.
Yeah. Are you aware of the potential that they can get? You know what I mean? Like, do you guys know of these college dudes?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, the Vikings drafted a quarterback who can't throw the ball. So that's pretty exciting. Like, they won the national championship, but in the Big Ten championship game, they did not attempt a pass in the second half. They just ran the ball the entire time for an entire half of football. That's the quarterback they drafted in the first round. Like, he's a winner because he hands the ball off real good.
It's my Minnesotans for you.
They're smart.
We're known for our sports prowess, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's like, that's one of my favorite things about the draft is, like, as a Packer fan, we just get to shit on the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings and the Lions. Like, with, like, the Vikings and the Bears, they both had top 10 picks. And where, you know, every 3 or 4 years, the Vikings and the Bears, they select a new quarterback, and then it doesn't work out. And it's just like, Ponder. Oh, it's exciting. You know, because the Bears had Justin Fields and he flamed out, even though we're all like, I think he's pretty good, but Chicago's just a terrible place to play, so he doesn't have a chance. And before him, it was like Mitch Trubisky. And it was like, well, he has the worst offensive coordinator we've ever seen in our life. Maybe that's why his career didn't turn out. So it's like, no matter who this team picks, they're kind of just screwed. Like, the players, it's like not fair to the players because they don't get to choose, like, the situation they have to play in.
Well, and with Mitch Trubisky and then also Christian Ponder for the Vikings, it's like, why are they a type 5 pick? No one, like, if they're picked in the second round where they should be, there's no pressure on them. But these teams reach for these guys, and you're like, you just feel bad for them. Like, great job on making a little bit of money at the beginning, but people are going to expect things from you, and you're not that good. So good luck getting sacked 55 times a year by 350-pound linemen, and hope you live through that.
I do like the draft pick as a consolation prize for playing poorly, though. You know, you can always say, like, well, you know, they're probably just, like, not trying that hard because they want to get the better draft pick next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, during the season, like, if your team's bad, you're like, it's the fourth quarter of the game. You're like, you know what? If we lose the game, no. Maybe we'll end up picking top 5. Like, I'm okay with it.
Well, like Dave mentioned, halfway through the season, the Bears had a good chance to pick number 1 and number 2 because they were bad and Carolina was terrible, and they owned Carolina's pick. So I'm like, I kind of hope they both just stink, and the Bears get two picks, and they'll probably draft two quarterbacks, and see what happens.
Wow. Segue challenge.
It's time to draft a new topic.
Yeah, young upstart. James, go ahead.
I don't remember. What am I doing? British panel shows.
Oh, shit.
I'm madly in love with British panel shows. I don't know. It's just, it's a dry wit, and I just find British comedians so much funnier. And in America, we don't even have panel shows with, like, good comedians. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but there's just, like, a rotating cast, like, 25 guys that they have, and women, men and women, that just go on various shows, and they're entertaining shows. You got QI, you have Taskmaster, you have a few others that I like to watch. 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. But it's just, you know, there's a premise to the show, but mostly it's just banner for about 80% of the time. So that's I don't understand why we don't have that. Like the closest analogy I can come up with is like Hollywood Squares. And we had Bobcat Goldthwait, Whoopi Goldberg, and Bruce Valanche. And I'm like, we can do better, America. Let's be better. But it's just mindless humor and cracks me up. So
I watched I was gonna say I watched for research Would I Lie to You?
Yeah, Wilty. Hashtag Wilty. Would I Lie to You?
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it was, at first I was like arms crossed, like fucking British people, you know, like, oh yes, of course. You know, like everything's so highbrow and shit. But I really enjoyed the concept that they were doing. And like you said, like, it's just they're all really witty. And some stuff flew by my head, but that's fine. Some of the accents were a little too thick, but overall I really liked David Mitchell.
David Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
David Mitchell's fantastic.
I know him from other stuff.
Oh, really? Sweet. Yeah, I enjoyed him a lot.
Peep Show is David Mitchell. I think that's what he became big in.
Peep Show,
that's the first thing I knew him from.
Is that a panel show too, or?
No, it's like a, not a sitcom, but like a half-hour comedy.
Oh, okay.
And it's not, is it found footage? Would it be considered found footage?
It's like mockumentary style, I guess.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Yeah, I just really liked him. I can't do an impression, but I want to work on it. I found the way he spoke was very like, oh, yes. Like, just very, I liked it. It was just cartoonish almost.
I don't have a lot of experience with these shows on my own, but my wife is always showing me clips from the Graham Norton show, because like even when you like bring on the celebrity who's not like normally funny, just surrounding them by all the people who are cracking jokes and stuff all the time kind of brings out a funnier side of them.
Dave, have you ever checked any? I mean, you're American, right? You don't bother with that.
No, I love British comedy. Like, it's great. I want to know, like, how you're watching these. Like, are they on any streaming networks or?
There's quite
a. I don't have one of those.
Quite a few of them are on Amazon Prime. You can get into it there, okay. And then just follow it from there. Has anyone seen the new Ghostbusters movie?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. Well, this isn't going to spoil anything, but James Acaster's in that, and he's one of the ones that makes the rounds on the panel shows, and he's very enjoyable. So treat yourself to that.
The only thing that I've seen that's like kind of similar is I've watched a lot on Netflix the British Bake Off, yeah, where there's, you know, it's British and there's like four judges. And just every time, like a lot of the contestants are British as well. So you have the contestants plus the four judges, and it's just all the comedy is just that British comedy. And they're kind of, you know, and they're having fun. So they'll be like making fun of like how someone's struggling, like trying to bake something, or I don't know. And it's funny. It's really entertaining show. And it's like, I love cooking shows, but like with a baking show where they're just like baking cakes and like little pastries and like these weird British pastries that you would never eat in America. And they have all these weird terms that they call everything. It's just, everything's just a little bit different. It's fun to watch because it's just a little bit different.
They take their baking very, very seriously, and cookies are called biscuits. But lot of not the judges, but like the third person that's like the host of it, it's like a Noel Fielding and James Acaster was a guest on there. But a lot of the hosts that they have are the people from these panel shows. So,
side comment: did you know the Great British Bake Off has to be called the Great British Baking Show in America because Pillsbury owns the term Bake Off here?
Holy
it's a game changer.
I mean, that sounds like bullshit. Like, when is Pillsbury last used Bake Off? Yeah. Like,
I don't.
They're not
I
using
don't know of
it.
Any Bake Offs.
Pillsbury
Bake Off.
I don't know. They better fess up, or they should lose that patent.
Pick it up with the trademark office, I guess.
Ugh. Makes me... that's a good hate. We should do trademarks. We're gonna put a note on that one.
Write that down.
We're still waiting on tipping, Dave.
All right.
Okay, so I was thinking, you know, we don't have that here in America, but then I was thinking, well, who are our wittiest people? You know, can we get them all on a show? I feel like some of the best already have their own shows. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned stand-up. Are they stand-up comedians over there?
Yeah. A lot of them start out as that. Some of them get their own shows, and then they just, once they become big in the public eye or starting up, they move on to some of the panel shows and participate in that.
So that's just a big thing that's been around for like a couple decades now, this whole...
Yeah, like 20 years.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah.
Like, do you remember Noel Fielding spoke of him earlier? Do you remember the almighty Boosh and the skit Old Greg? I'm Old Greg. God. Do you like Bailey's from his shoe?
Yeah.
Trying to forget it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's Noel Fielding. He's done a lot of things. So.
Yeah.
One of the ones that they do that I forgot about is they do the Big Fat Quiz Show of the Year, which is essentially pub trivia, but with six different comedians, and they do it every single Christmas. So what I look forward to on Christmas is watching that the next day on YouTube, because it's a year in review, pub trivia style, hour and a half, just comedians making fun of all the stupid crap that happened.
One odd thing happened. They made a 9/11 joke. And, you know, usually Americans make plenty of 9/11 jokes. But when they did it, I felt a slight, like, hey. I don't know why.
I mean, like, that's our word.
Kind yeah, of yeah, thing. Exactly.
Did the joke fall flat?
Oh, my God.
Too soon.
That melted my beams, I'll tell you that. All right, well, segue challenge. Segue challenge, come on, you guys got something?
Certainly somebody in this panel of comics should be able to come up with something.
All right, well, is it me? I will go. All right, what do you guys want? I love mental health awareness. I hate Jesse Hyman. And I'm indifferent to the constellations.
Why do I don't want to hear the hate because I don't know what you have against this guy, poor guy.
Oh, the hate? I'll go hate. Yeah.
I'm interested to learn.
All right. So I hate Jesse Hyman, background actor. I have a pretty good facial memory. You know, I don't remember names, but I for sure goddamn remember faces. And this kid started showing up in movies, and I was like, oh, that guy. Oh, I saw him in this other movie, and he was a background actor, and he's doing it again. He's being a background actor. However, I'm noticing him. That's not what background actors do. You know, it started to annoy me, and I will be, you know, up front, a bit of jealousy, where I'm like, this motherfucker who looks ridiculous. You know, I just started to attack his looks. But he kept on getting in all these movies. And I was like, where's your sense of ambition, motherfucker? You're just a background actor. That's going to be your thing. And sure enough, that's what happened. People started to realize that this guy's in all this, these movies and TV shows. And so then, you know, like Spider-Man, Goldmember, Monk, he was on the TV show. He was in a Vonage commercial. But it, like, the one thing that annoyed me the most is that he was in this GoDaddy commercial where he makes out with this model. And the whole concept is that, oh, why would a model ever make out with such an unbelievable dweeb, you know? So he got to make out with a model on television. Now, because it was ironic, right? They were like, oh, it's ridiculous, you know? But he got that just because he got a bit of notoriety being a background actor. Like I'm saying, this is probably jealousy because, like, if I could be an actor, that almost sounds better because you get residuals. I believe you get residuals. Maybe not. If you don't have lines, maybe you don't.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're not credited, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it's not a mature hate. I just always knew I had this in my back pocket. If I was kind of like, oh, what do I talk about now? I just never could stand this guy. And even though I should give him a break, just things kept happening where I'm like, motherfucker. So yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think about Jesse Hyman, background actor?
You're 100% right. And I think you're downplaying it. Like, let the hate for you, man. Like, this guy, he has no talent at all. That, like, that's why it's like, why is he in so much stuff? He has no talent. He does not bring anything to the table. The only thing is he's obese and he's got like a bad haircut and he looks like a dork or a dweeb. And he's got glasses and chubby cheeks. Like, he's been in, I was looking on Wikipedia and all the things he's been in, and I'm like, yep, I remember him in Chuck. Yep, I've seen him on Big Bang Theory. Yep, I've seen him in this movie, this movie, this movie. And he's always there, but for no reason. It's just like, anytime there's like a nerd in the background, it's this guy. And like, I feel like, does his agent like know someone in the business or something? Or like, is his dad like a casting director? Or like, it feels like some type of nepotism or something that is getting this kid in all these movies. And I say kid because he looks like a kid. He's actually like 45 years old now, but he's still getting like movie roles as if he was 25. It makes no sense and it defies all logic. I was confused, Vince, when you said you hated this guy, because I'm like, I don't know who he is. And then after 2 minutes of looking on Wikipedia, I was like, oh no, I know exactly who this guy is.
So
I Google
Dave,
imaged him. It was horrible.
Dave, you didn't hear my story from earlier. I'm like, Vince, should I research some of this? He's like, ah, it's up to you. It could be a surprise. I'm like, I'll let this be a surprise. And then I was watching Old School that night, and I realized Howard Wolowitz was an extra, not an extra, but he had a couple lines, but he was an Old School. And so I had IMDb Old School to find Howard Wolowitz's name. And who's below Howard Wolowitz is this Jesse guy. And I'm like, and I saw a picture and I'm like, that friggin' guy. I hate that guy. I knew exactly who it was. I just got angry. I'm like, yeah, no. Say your one line, get off the screen. You're not the star here. Move on.
I saw the name. I no idea who that is. I look him up. I'm like, oh, that guy. And I felt nothing.
Indifference from John.
Well, I mean, can you kind of understand, like, it's kind of like my hatred for bats. You guys were like, I think it's just like a personal thing. I'm like, yeah, probably. But like, it's the same thing with Jesse Hyman. It just bothered me from day one where I'm like, I can't forget your face because I can't forget most faces. And that's the face I got. I just get mean, you know, and I don't like it. And maybe that's why I hate him. I'm like, you fucking dork. You make me feel like a bully. I'm going to shove you into these lockers now. It's your fault, you know.
Did it make you like delete a face from your memory that you would rather have because you ran out of room or something?
I wish that was possible. No, I remember so many faces. Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad Dave kind of like help me. So did you, James. John.
It's probably just me as a non-vig guy that
oh, that's right.
struggle to care about this guy.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, if he had an annoying voice, then that'd be a different story.
They don't give him lines. He's a background actor. Or wait, no,
he has an annoying voice. He definitely has an annoying voice.
It's childlike.
It's too. It's whiny. It's pretentious.
It's very British in that sense. All right, should we segue challenge?
The winner of the Razzie Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Jesse Hyman for the worst career ever.
It's a good career. I'm just mad. I don't like it, that. I don't like that he was able to do that. I'm jelly, guys. That's not Gen Z slang at all. That's like before that, right?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Segway challenge. So who's up? I don't even remember. John?
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to get super nerdy like our buddy Jesse Hyman and talk about my love for the Linux operating system. So I've been a fan of this since high school when Vincent, my buddy Jesse, told me about it. And, you know, like, you could be a Windows guy or a Mac guy, or there's, you know, this third option that's like way more annoying to set up and difficult to maintain. But if you ever visit a website, the server that the website is on is, there's like a 90% chance that that's running some sort of Linux. So it's like really become the most popular one for servers and the web and all that kind of stuff. But I also like using it for my home use on like desktop, because it's basically it's all built around open source free software. You create someone, you let everybody else use it, they can modify it, they can distribute it, you know, everyone contributes to it. And like what's nice about that is then like, oh, I need software to do whatever, like to edit images, and like there's just something available for free, and you know, click a few buttons or type in a command, and it just downloads it and installs it, and you're off and running. Like, I remember back in the day on Windows, always having to like, you know, I wasn't going to pay hundreds of dollars for software, so you're just like, oh, how can I steal this online and use it? And you just, you know, don't have to worry about that stuff. But yeah, I won't go on too long because I don't know how much interest this is to everyone else, but it is definitely a love for me.
Why isn't it? I mean, it seems like no one knows about this except for you and Jesse. He had that big shirt, Think Linux, and the penguin on it. And I never, like, I was like, oh, apparently you guys know what you're talking about, but I never hear it referenced outside the two of you.
So, like, in, like I said, in the corporate, like, IT world, anything that's like a computer that you're connecting to over the internet for any purpose is probably running Linux. www.my or not a few goldilockbears.com is running it.
Oh my gosh. Fact.
Yeah.
So wow. how do they run Linux? Like if I go to the like Best Buy or Walmart to buy like a laptop or a PC, they're always like preloaded, you know, you either get a Mac that has Apple or you get like a Windows computer. So you have to like build your own computer and then upload that operating system?
No, you can just buy any computer and install it on there. Like you basically just, like in the old days, you would create a CD that you could boot off of and reinstall it. You could, you know, install right over the top of Windows, or you could install it side by side. So then when you turn on the computer, it says like, oh, do you want to do Windows or do you want to do Linux? If you have any smart device in your house, you know, like a TV that connects to YouTube or a Roku or anything like that, those are all running Linux on them.
All right.
If you got a smart light bulb, that's got Linux on it. Like it's everywhere except for like your laptop and your desktop, basically.
lot, a
Could
lot of
we?
phones, right? Like the iPhones, they don't have Linux. They have
Actually,
Apple operating systems.
good point. So both Mac OS and iOS on phones are based on an operating system called BSD, which is like the sister of Linux. Like it's way more like Linux than it is like Windows or even like the old versions of Mac OS, basically. So like if you know how to use one or the other, you can like just get on a keyboard and start, you know, like typing in commands and stuff, and they all work very, very similarly.
Shit. Yeah, I tried to do research for this because I'm like, I just watched the movie Steve Jobs. They were throwing a lot of words out there, and I was like, maybe I'm used to it. No, I couldn't follow it. I Wikipedia'd it and got lost immediately. Yeah. But I believe you. I believe you. It's a good system. I just maybe I'll try and seek it out more and learn.
I know I've heard about Linux since like I don't know, like I was in middle school or the beginning of high school. There was like computer nerds, no offense. Like who knew stuff about like, you know, they're trying to learn how to like program and like write website code and stuff like that. And they're like, oh yeah, I have a Linux computer at home. And like they're either their dad or their older brother or something had it. And they would use that. And they always like bragged about it. And we're like, we had no idea like what he was talking about. But it's kind of interesting. I've only used like Windows and like Apple. And like over time, I feel like Windows has become more like Apple. And then Apple has also become more like Windows. And they're like, they're getting closer and closer in similarity on how they run. So I don't know. I really don't like either Windows or Apple. I like Apple's fine, but there's a lot of stuff you can't do, and you're kind of just like you're in like a location, it seems like, and you can't really break down the walls to like do any different stuff. Like you have to have like their approved applications. There's certain things that you can't get your phone to do or your laptop to do unless you like jailbreak it. Like you got to jailbreak it and then you can have some freedom.
Yeah, and like Android is a version of Linux, and so is like Chrome OS, like Chromebooks. And they're like the opposite of what you're talking about to a fault. Like Linux is just so open to do whatever you want that they just like let you shoot yourself in the foot. And you know, like I can do something and just like completely break my computer bare without even trying and just have to like spend
That's
a lot of money.
kind of how I always viewed it. I viewed Linux as like that's something more for someone who is computer savvy and can do their own thing. I don't want to do that, so I like having a set guideline, a menu to order from. I don't want a list of ingredients and have to create my own thing. I just because I don't need it for that, and it's not my hobby or interest really. So I'm just like, just give me the basics and I'll follow the rules and not shoot myself in the foot. So.
I like the comment before about bragging about something and nobody knew what it meant. Like I can relate to that. I'm always bragging about stuff that nobody understands or cares about.
Or is it because they'd never heard of it? You brag more about it. You're like, oh, you simpletons. Segway challenge.
Right, let's reboot this OS and boot into a different one.
Wow, that's good. I would have just said 101, 1001,
I
1003.
thought you were gonna be like semicolon dash blank caret backslash.
Dave, you're up, man.
I hate music videos. I fucking hate music videos. Like music videos are so bad. Like you think like, oh, MTV back in the day, they used to play music videos and they were great and we loved it. But it's like, it's all nostalgia. Like all the videos they were playing, they were trash. Like all those videos were bad. So at work, we are only like, we're not able to go to like Pandora or Spotify on the work computers. You can only go to YouTube. So we go to YouTube and we type in different, like you can find a million different music video playlists of 80s songs, 90s songs, 2000s, modern day. You know, songs from the 70s, like the very earliest like music videos. And it's just, it blows my mind watching music videos to these songs that I love. I love a lot of these awesome songs by like Journey, like Blink-182. When I was in high school, Blink-182 was like my favorite band ever. But like the music videos are just absolutely all garbage. Like with Blink-182, all their music videos are trash. It's like that really bad, like Carson Daly, TRL era of MTV. And it's just like all their music videos, they ignore everything that the song is about. Like I love Blink-182 songs because they're about like, it's like a girl that like broke up with them and they're feeling all these feelings and they're feeling like betrayed or they're feeling like love is lost and they're feeling failure. But in the music video, they're just like running through the streets totally naked with like blur marks in front of them. And they're just running from girls. And it's like the opposite of what the song is about. And it, I hate watching these music videos. I'm not going to like list like a bunch more of like examples other than like Journey, Separate Ways, where they just ignore what the song is about. And then they're just like standing outside on a dock somewhere by like a warehouse, just singing the lyrics of the song. Like with, but it's like the whole point of music. Okay. I'm going to narrow it down to this. The whole point of music is for the listener to like, listen to the lyrics, make their own interpretation of it. And to like have that meaning. It's like poetry, you know, you kind of make your own meaning of what the song is about. But when you watch a music video, they show you what that music producer or manager or the band or whoever created that music video, they're showing you something and it's nothing related to the song. And it generally makes me feel worse about the song where I'm like, I wish I would have never seen this. I really love this song and now it's tainted it.
I thought you were going to say, because it killed the radio star. So you don't, like, I think the appeal to music videos is you get to put a face to the voice or the face to the bass, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of cool. You get to see, like, I love the Beatles music videos. There's so many fucking, I wrote down so many music videos, but I don't know. Is it, it just doesn't live up? You prefer not ever seeing music videos is what you're saying?
There are some that were that are done well, but it's such a small percentage, I feel like, because there's different styles of like music videos. Like if you're like rap and hip hop, it's just like cars with like rims on it and like mansion pool parties and girls in bikinis, and like every music video is the same. And I don't know, like it's easy to hate on it, but it's like, it's nothing because like the songs aren't really about like anything emotional or deep. But like, if you have songs that are like emotional and deep and like have like meaning to them, those music videos are always bad because it doesn't like properly reflect like Ben Folds 5 Brick. I love that song. The music video, they're just like three dudes in turtlenecks just playing the piano. And you're like, okay, this is really bad.
That's exactly what I picture though when I'm hearing the song.
I hadn't seen it, but I'm like, a song about abortion? Yeah, three guys in turtlenecks. But I think it really depends on if the music video matches the song itself. Like My Chemical Romance with Helena, I thought that was pretty well done. That's one of my favorites. Sum 41 in Pieces, that's pretty good. Paul Simon and Paul Simon and You Can Call Me Al, where he's
Chevy Chase
with Chevy Chase.
That was bad.
That was so bad. That was a joke. But that one
the My Chemical Romance Helena, that one's awesome. I agree.
Okay, all right.
But like, you look at Fall Out Boy. Like, I am a fan of Fall Out Boy. Their music videos are horrible.
Yeah.
Come on,
like the sugar we're going down swinging, yes. Where it's like a kid with antlers, and like, I don't know, the daughter is like trying to date him, but the dad is like a hunter. And he's like gonna shoot him, but then it turns out the dad had hooves for feet, so he was like part animal, so he was kind of like the son, and it was like the dumbest shit ever.
No, he didn't approve of the boyfriend because he saw himself in him, like many.
Oh, I get it.
Right? How many fathers?
I get the analogy. It doesn't make it good.
There's some great works of art, though. I mean, Weapon of Choice by Fatboy Slim, Christopher Walken dancing around. It's fucking awesome, man.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, Michel Gondry, like, has directed a lot of awesome music videos, and like, particularly like Bjork music videos are often pretty awesome. Spike Jones has some good ones. I think like music videos where it's just like an animation telling a story are pretty cool. Like the Ween song.
Like all the Gorillaz videos.
Yeah. But there's this Ween song, Transdermal Celebration, where it's this like weird, like people turning into trees kind of thing going on, which, you know, to the point of like, does it have much to do with the song? 100%. Yeah, it's like word for word what's happening. Just kidding. But yeah, I don't know. I can't deny that like 95% of them are trash, though. You know, having given a bunch of counter examples.
You know, I think it's nice to, like I said, nice to fucking see the voice, the face with the voice. Specifically if they're hot, like the Go-Go's, Jane Wiedlin. Like, if I never saw that music video, I never would have known that she's just adorable as fuck. But thankfully, our lips are sealed and head over heels provided the face, and I've been a fan of her ever since. So yeah, I'm pro music video, Dave.
there are definitely good ones out there. But those good ones, they make the bad ones seem so much worse, I feel like. Because, like, there are examples of good ones out there. And when you have, like, a favorite song, and you're like, oh, man, I love this band. I want to see this song. Like, I wonder what this music video is. And you see it, and it's just such a letdown. That's so disappointing. It's because if you feel, like, betrayed by, like, your favorite singer or songwriter, when you see their music video and it's just garbage, you'll be like, oh, you put zero thought into this. Like, you guys just went to the studio, recorded this in about 3 hours, and you said, all right, we're done.
Have you named a music video that you did enjoy?
John just mentioned one. I forgot what it was. That was really good.
Take on Me by Aha. That's a classic one.
Yeah,
that's artistic. If you want to check out a band that it almost feels like they do music just to add to their music videos, is Sigur Rós, where each video is almost like a little indie film. It's pretty good.
Actually, that reminds me, like OK Go. Didn't they have like the one with like the treadmills and like really low budget but just kind of cool concept videos?
It was pretty good, yeah. What about fucking Sabotage by the Beastie Boys? We mentioned Spike Jones. That was cool. That was done in the 70s cop style or whatever. I like that a lot. This is America by Childish Gambino. You guys ever fucking seen that one?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
I didn't realize. I didn't realize that Childish Gambino was
Donald Glover.
Yeah. Right. Until I watched that video. And I'm like, they got Donald Glover in this music video. And I'm like, oh, wait. Donald Glover is Childish Gambino. Huh.
To me, I'm like, Troy?
So basically, going back to earlier, Donald Glover would be a guy that should be in a British panel TV show. That would be a good American comedian. That it's that kind of genre. Like, you can sit down and talk with him for an hour and a half, and he would just say things. He'd be like, I like it.
All right, well, then I say, put David's Hell on the panel. I like him. Okay, so I was going to say, this was possibly a future love, was the music video Daydreaming by Radiohead. It was directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, and it looks amazing, and the concept is great. It's just Tom York going through doors, and he ends up in, like, there's a hospital. He's walking there, so he goes and sees another door. He opens it, and he's in a living room with a family, and he walks through another door. He just pops up and transports everywhere. It's hypnotic. I love it. It has nothing to do with the lyrics, Dave, but it's great.
I think maybe the topic I should have chose was, all of my favorite bands make terrible music videos. Because
I can't think of one good Blink 182 video.
Yeah, loved terrible. Matchbox 20 and Third Eye Blind. All their music videos are trash. I love the Avett Brothers. Their music videos are trash. Like, I just watched like a newer music video. That's not that new. It's probably like 6 or 7 years old, and they're all just sitting on a stool, facing their blank faces at the camera, singing the song with zero emotion. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Like, all of your lyrics are all based around emotion, and you're just showing no emotion. Like, go fuck yourself.
Speaking of going fucking yourselves, Miss You by Blink 182 was damn good. I like that one.
Was it? Okay. I'm going to watch it later and think, like, man, this is horrible. I hate it.
I think Jesse Hyman was in it.
Oh, man. Segway challenge, perhaps, if we're ready. Let's not match the lyrics. I don't know. Oh, man, this is tough. I don't know. Segway.
We need like a pop-up blurb to show up right
now. I love pop-up video. That was great.
Yeah, were only entertaining because it was like, oh, you're adding something to this boring music video. You guys had to like make it interesting by telling me what's actually happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, and the pop-up goes, bloop, James' topic is next. Bloop. Yeah. So go ahead, James.
What do you guys want to do? Hates or indifference?
What are they?
Well, hate is roundabout, and indifferent is subtitles.
You guys pick.
Roundabouts.
Roundabout?
Roundabouts. What is the purpose? Why? Like, so we can expose how terrible drivers people are. Like, in various states, it gets worse. Like, Dave, I don't remember. Do you have them in Oklahoma?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple in our town, and they're terrible. Yeah, people don't know how to use them. They just slowly pull out into it in front of cars, and then people have to stop. And they think, like, I don't know. It's like the population is so stupid that we just need to have green lights and red lights, because that's all people can comprehend.
Pretty much. And another bonus is we live in Wisconsin where it's ice, so now everyone has to stop. That's easy to do. So you can just park your lawn chair at a roundabout when it's 20 degrees out, grab yourself a cooler of beer, and just watch accident after accident happen because no one can stop. It's amazing.
Why can they stop at a red light but they can't stop at a roundabout?
Because they yield. They yield at roundabouts. They're like, I can make it. And they're like, oh no, a car's coming. Now I have to stop. You can't leave it up to the people. Put a red light. They know they have to stop. Give them a roundabout. They're like, I can probably go. People are stupid. That's really what it boils down to.
I really enjoyed roundabouts until I had to share a roundabout with other people. Then it was scary. Because, like, you know, I'm like, I'm coming around. The rule is that I get to go, but they're like, they want to try and get there before I get there. Yeah, it's the other people that makes it suck. But I personally like them. Until you get to a multi-lane roundabout, that's scary. That's like, I always get so fucking nervous driving through those.
Yeah, like if I have to take the third left, do I have to be in the left lane or the center lane or the far right lane? I don't know. I'm going to be here for hours. I'm just going to go around in circles on the inside lane.
Yeah,
I never know how to get out.
a well-designed roundabout should give you that information and signage, but obviously I'm not saying that always happens. I don't know. I haven't really had that many bad experiences with them. We've got them around in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and they seem fine. I don't know. Like, I go, if I want to turn right, I exit right away. If I want to go straight, I wait a little longer to exit. If I want to turn left, I wait even longer than that. Good to go.
I think there was a joke in European Vacation where they just got stuck in this multi-lane roundabout like the whole time. He just gave up and just they just drove around the whole time. Yeah, it's hectic.
There's that great scene in The Truman Show when he's like flipping out in the car and he just like doing circles in the roundabout.
It's just other people that ruin it for me. There's so many people that just don't like you said, James, they don't know how it works. But until then I felt really safe in a roundabout. And it's fun to do a little curve and stuff. Liven up your day. Why not?
Hell with other people,
It's always other people. Holy
right?
shit. All
And
right.
like they say that like statistically, the roundabouts they lower the amount of fatal crashes. So you have like less deaths with roundabouts, but you do have more overall accidents. They're just not fatal because
Oh,
you're
that's
ending up with a lot
interesting.
more fender benders.
I think that's a nice trade-off, right? Life.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you pro-choice or pro? It's kind
Well,
of the roundabout versus the
God. That's why all those protesters are at
stoplight.
the roundabout. You called me a scab for using it. All right, segue challenge.
Yeah, we could probably, I don't know who's next, but we could probably take the next right off this roundabout and head to
Oh, no, you're in the wrong lane. You're in the middle lane.
Oh
You
my
need to
God.
be in.
I'll have to go around 10 more times.
I think it's I, or is it? I don't know. What do you
Yeah.
guys want? I love mental health awareness. I'm indifferent to the constellations.
Think we should end
Mental health.
positively. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about constellations either, so let's have a positive note.
All right. Well, you know what? It's as simple as this, and I barely wrote anything down for it. Oh my God. All right. Well, I grew up and where people are always like, oh, we don't talk about that, especially men. Men don't talk about this or that. And that's just how it was for the longest time. And you would hear like, oh, this so and so had to talk to a therapist and shit like that, you know? And I always found it really strange that that was a universal thing. Like, oh, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. So it actually made me more curious. Like, why don't we talk about it? And it just seems annoying that it's just like an embarrassment or you're meant to feel ashamed about it and stuff. And it's our fucking brains, you know, like this is the one thing that we sh like it really helps to address, you know, whatever condition you're in and stuff like that. I just love that today's youth talk about mental health all the time. Like they you know, there's sites now, there's commercials on. They're like, hey, go to whatever this site is, just talk. You know, it's good to just say things to someone. And I agree. I'm just so glad that we're not like, oh, don't, no, sweep it under the rug, you know, grow a fucking tumor from the fucking anxiety and shit like that. You know, it's something that's been around forever. And I'm so goddamn glad that people are, it's a little annoying or whatever because I grew up with like, oh, don't people don't talk about their mental health so openly, but they do. So I'm kind of getting used to it. Overall, I think it's a great thing. What do you guys think?
I agree. I definitely grew up where we didn't not even really not talk about mental health, we just didn't really talk about anything ever. So it's definitely weird for me when, people are open about stuff. Like I've become a very private person in general, and like don't really like to talk about anything with people unless it's like people I know or whatever. So it's definitely a shift of mindset for me, but I think the positive results of doing it are undeniable.
Well, but yes.
I feel like the age of the internet, there's like good and bad that comes with the internet. Like, there's cyberbullying, especially like with teenagers. Like, if I can't imagine going through like middle school or high school with like Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Like, that sounds miserable to have like your classmates and like anybody will make fun of you because of some, and it's where everyone else can see it and like it. Like, so there's horrible things that come with the internet, and but some of the good things that come with the internet is like you'll have like a TikTok video where someone's talking about their feelings and like the struggles they've been going through, and then you go to the comment section and like the number one like comment is just "Stay strong, brother." Like, hang in there, like we're with you. And it's just it lets people know that like, hey, you're not alone. All of us feel this way, or a lot of people feel this way. And like it's that little thing like that that I think is really helpful to people to know that there's other people out there. You can reach out and find other people who are going through similar struggles. 'Cause there's a multitude of different like issues you can be going through. Whether it's, like if it's something about like your looks and like your body, of like how you look, or if it's like abuse that you've had, like from your parents or from classmates or teachers. Yeah, this, the internet can be like a support system for people. And yeah, with like mental health awareness, I do like, I don't really remember much of this like when I was a kid. Like I would hear from like my mom, she would say like, "Oh, therapists, yeah, some people get therapists." And she never said anything negative about therapists. All it was she would say like, "Well, all right. Well, I just want to make sure you're okay because we can't afford a therapist." That was the joke. It was just like, "We can't afford that, so you better get over it yourself." That's what she would say.
Not bad.
Yeah, I think just the fact that everyone's talking about it now, and so many more people go through it than you would have ever thought. And it doesn't have to be a complete mental breakdown, a complete depression. Something as simple as, cabin fever. It's Wisconsin, so we have winter for 9 months. And as soon as the sun comes out and you get to be outside, like you just feel so much better. It doesn't always have to be medication. It can be for some. It doesn't always have to be therapy, but that certainly helps some, but just the little things like, everyone copes with stuff differently. What works for one person doesn't work for someone else. And again, with Dave's point, just, there's other people out there. Stay strong, brother. Like, people feel the same way you do that you've never met, never talked to, but they feel the exact same. So, when you're depressed, it sucks. Like, I'm the only one. No one else knows what I feel. There's so many people that feel the exact same way. You could, be walking next to someone, driving around a roundabout next to that guy that just cut you off who feels the same way you do. And like, why is he so angry? But
He wasn't
yeah,
that angry the third time around the roundabout,
it's yeah.
but
Just go around the roundabout a few
now.
times, they'll calm me right down. But yeah, I think just the power in numbers, the fact that you're not alone. I think that's really helping people.
Have you guys ever had to talk to a therapist or anything like that? I mean, you don't even have to say what it was about, but I know I did twice. Any of you guys?
I've considered it a few times. I've looked into it, but never felt to the point like I'll fix a few things on my own, do some research, read some books. But I've considered it for sure.
Anyone else?
I
I have
haven't.
not,
No.
but it's the same reason I don't go see a doctor. It's like I don't feel like I can afford it. I'm just gonna wait like way too long until it's like beyond repair. And it's like, well, it would have helped if you would have came in sooner, but now there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, I went once when I was in high school because something happened in the, there was a family thing, and they were like, have them talk to someone. And I did. And it was fine. I just basically said what happened. And then that guy was good. But there was another guy, a therapist later on, that wasn't good. So you might encounter that is what I'm getting at. Where this guy was like, I don't know, whatever he was saying, it felt like it didn't apply to me. It felt like, what is it called? Word salad or something like that. Just talking, like throwing out these words, and he swore, trying to relate to me, I guess. I don't know. So it's really stuffy white people think that I like swearing, so they swear in front of me to be cool. It's weird,
But you do like swearing.
I do, but I wasn't talking. But the whole point is that he just didn't work, So if you run into that, if you feel like this guy's not hearing you, he's just speaking, then you might have to go, or you probably should go to someone else. But yeah, it's possible that there's some shitty ass therapists out there, but that's the same with doctors and cops and podcasters and shit like that.
Present company excluded.
No. Yeah. Are we done? Oh, shit.
Well, one more thing I want to say.
Okay.
Like, I knew, like, back in my early 20s, I had a friend and she was some type of therapist. I'm not going to say her name or what type of therapist she was, but she was a therapist. And, like, I didn't know she was, but, like, I was talking to her and, like, we're like talking about like relationship problems and issues, and she was like the best listener, and she would ask follow-up questions, and she would never like talk and be like, oh, well, this happened to me once, or oh yeah, this happened to me, and to like try and relate it back to her. It was always focused on me and my problem, and I was like, man, you're such a good listener. I'm like, what? And then one day it was like, what do you do for a living? She's like, I'm a therapist. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it all makes sense. You're a professional. Like, this is insane. But then I felt super guilty because I'm like, I don't want to talk to you about my problems. Like, you gotta do that at work all day long. Like, you're clocked out. Like, you don't have to listen to my shit anymore. Like, I feel bad now.
Oh, I wanted her to hand you an invoice.
Yeah.
Dave, that's great and all, but here's this thing that happened to me.
God. All right, is that the show? Are we done? If we are, like, subscribe, comment. Make sure to go to a few goldilockbears.com and like, subscribe, comment there, say that with Vincent Cloud
And John, like, subscribe, comment, Nemes.
and David Lauer
And James Clark.